It's great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being here today. I hope that everybody has had a great start. I know that you have to have had a great start to the week because you're here. It's the Lord's Day, and there's not a better way we can start our weeks than by worshiping our Lord. What a blessing and honor it is to be a part of God's forever family. We thank you for those who may be visiting with us today. We thank you for those who are our members here today. We want to encourage those who may be visiting to maybe looking around. You know, this is not a perfect place, but it's a place that's pretty special. And so we would encourage you to be a part of us all the time. Our teenagers threw me a curveball today, and that's okay. Keep me on my toes. It's good to see them all. Three rows of them over here, but I got to looking around, and I thought, where are they? But they're over here today. So it's great to see you. I can't think of a couple better folks to sit with than Rudy and Nita Pierce, though. We'll say a lot more about Brother Rudy and Sister Nita. Today is family day here at Azalea City. We're going to have a meal together. If you didn't plan on staying, you should. There'll be food. If not, you can have mine. There'll be enough, okay? We'll be able to have enough food. So plan on staying even if you didn't bring anything today. But we're going to honor, here's the main reason to stay, not only be with God's people, but we're going to honor Brother Rudy and Sister Nita. And I'm not going to use up all my words right now, but I love them very much. I appreciate them very much. And they are two of the finest people who's ever walked this earth. So please stay for that. I do want to say it's a great day to be with you. It's a great day to be a part of this worship service. But it's even better today because we have a brand new brother and sister in Christ. I know our brother's probably working today. He works a lot. But we have his better half with us today. But Randy and Jessica Dixon, last Sunday afternoon for the Master, they stayed. Then we had some talk together, some Bible study together, and they said, hey, here's water, what hinders me? And so they were immersed in Christ for the remission of their sins. I introduced them to you on the bulletin, and we talked about it Wednesday night. But I'm going to get Jessica to stand up, if you will, Jessica. Welcome, this sweet sister. Thank you very much. What a blessing it is to have you guys with us, and we're very excited about that. Lorraine is as well. Of course, this is her son and daughter-in-law, and we're very excited for them. Been talking to you a lot about God, about choices, about the things that are happening in our everyday lives. It's very important for us to, as Levy pointed out last 2 weeks in our class, it's very important for us to remember that heaven is our ultimate goal. In order for us to be successful in this life, you know, Steve has led us in beautiful songs about this world not being our home. You know, that we've got a mansion to Canaan's land. We're on our way. He's talked about heaven. He's sang about heaven today. And that is the ultimate goal in it all. If we miss heaven, we've missed it all. And so our path today needs to be towards heaven. Because what we do in life, the choices we make, have eternal impacts. The life that we live here has an eternal impact. Someone once said that what we do in life echoes in eternity. I thought that's a pretty powerful point. What we do in this life will echo in eternity. You know how an echo works, right? If we were to say, and I could probably make an echo in here, you know how loud I am, but and the acoustics are pretty good. If I were to yell out, I'm not going to do that, you know, you might doze off and be startled if I did that, right? But if I yelled out in here, it could echo. You're going to hear it back. Or if you're at a place where that, you know, you shout out and it will shout back to you. Well, the life that we live right now, What's the echo going to be in heaven? Or is it going to be in hell? Those are decisions that we have to make. You know, and today we're just going to get right into it. Because the life we live is so important that we need to pattern it after what the Bible teaches us. The life we live now matters in the life where we spend eternity. three things I'm going to talk to you about today, and they all come from Acts chapter 20. So you might want to go ahead and turn to Acts 20. They come from the life of Paul. Paul lived a life that was, at one time, contrary to the church. Now, he lived a life that I believe he thought he was doing what was right. He lived a life where he was trying to make an impact. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, his words, not mine. He was a man who kept the law. But when it came time to obey the new law, when it came time for him to see the light, he did change. He did become a great soul winner. And his life echoes now. You think about Paul. And we're talking about Paul today. Okay? And Paul, his life left an impact on this world, and it's leaving an impact for us to be able to follow through his words, through the inspiration of the Spirit. But in Acts chapter 20, there are three things that we learn from Paul that we need to do. And I believe if we do these three things, then we're going to be okay. Now, these are categories, okay? And there's some subcategories under these categories, but these three points that he points out in Acts chapter 20 are very valuable to us today. The very first one, if we're going to be making a choice that matters in all eternity, the first thing we got to understand about Christianity is we need to serve God's people. We need to be servants. Look at Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Now, see the scene here. He is getting the elders at the church of Ephesus together, and he's going to talk with them. He's going to challenge them. He's going to challenge the congregation there. Verse 18, and when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you. In other words, he said, you've seen me. You've been around me. You've seen the good days. You've seen the bad days. You've seen the days when I've tried to do everything that I can to lead people to Jesus Christ. But Paul said, there's been no secrets. We've gathered together today, and you know who I am. You know the life I've lived. Look at verse 19 now. Here's what he said. This is what you know about me. Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Paul said, you know all the things I've done, but here's what I want you to know the most, that I have served God's people. I have served the Lord. I have served and done with all humility what He wants me to do. Folks, that is Christianity in a nutshell. Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, so even the Son of Man. Now notice He said there, even. Okay? The Son of Man. Now this is God in the flesh. Okay? He said, even me, even I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Now, think about that as you see this name here on the screen. Bo, if you think equality was a hard word, how about this one? I'm not even going to pretend to pronounce this word. He was a sultan. Do y'all know who that is? Anybody got, I would be shocked if you did. Okay? But old Sultan Faraz there, he lived about 700 or 800 years ago, and he's famous, but you don't know who he is. Maybe we ought to know who he is. Here's why he is famous. Because somebody, I believe even Guinness, said that he holds the record. I don't know. Somebody said he holds the record for the most slaves owned of all time. Sultan Faraz Shah, I don't know how to say it like that. Okay? This man, in his own court, not just in the land, in his own court, employed or had or owned some 70 to 100,000 slaves. that on any given day he had 70 to 100,000 in his own court that he could say, you go do this, you serve me, you do this for me, you do that for me, everything else. Here's the point. This man is famous for owning the most slaves, but we don't know who he is. Because it's not about people serving us. It's about us serving God's people. The most important thing we can do in life is not be served, but we need to serve. And this is illustrated for me in Luke chapter 15. And I've used this before with you. But in Luke 15, there are three lost things. A lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And I want to talk about that lost son. We call him the prodigal son. Okay, that prodigal son, remember, we mentioned this about being selfish before. He said to his father, give me mine. Give me mine. Okay? Very selfish. An idea that's an ideology today that it's all about me. It's all about whatever I can get out of life. Okay? Well, the father gives it to him. And things are great. As long as he's got money, he's got friends, he's got fame, he's got popularity, he's got sin, he's got whatever he wants. He wastes it on prodigal, worldly, unrighteous, whatever you want to call it, living. To the point that he ends up having to join himself to that country and go and be in a pig's pen. Where he is slopping pigs and he is tending pigs and he is so hungry. A man who had a bed, who had a father, who had a home, who had love, who had care. He gave it all up, and now he is so hungry that he would eat gladly the slop that those pigs were eating. But I love that when he's in that mud, and he's in that slop, and he's in that pig's pen, the Bible says he came to himself. And the beautiful part about it is, he didn't say, I'm going home and getting my bed back. He said, I'm going home and begging my father to make me a servant. You see, if you are wallowing around in pig slop today, in the world today, in sin today, in misery today, then perhaps we've had it wrong. We thought it's about me, but it's not. It's about serving. It's about serving God and serving God's people with all humility. Today, if we want to make a choice that will reflect all eternity, then we need to become servants. We need to do as Bo read to us from Philippians chapter 2. We need to have the same mind, the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. And that was not to be served, but to serve. It's so important to serve. We can understand, I can stand up here and preach it, and I have. Our elders can challenge us, and others can challenge us, but the old saying is that 10% of the people are doing 90% of the work. Why is that? I don't know that that's true here. I don't know what the statistics are, but it's not enough. I think we would agree with that. It's not enough. Why is it so hard to get others to do it? If we can see it in Scripture and we can hear Jesus say it, which should be enough said. If we can do all and hear all this, then why is it so hard? I think there's a couple reasons. First of all, I think sometimes people are too proud to serve. By the way, Paul said he served with all humility. He wasn't too proud to serve. He was honored to be able to suffer. He was honored to be able to be persecuted. He was honored to be in prison. He was honored to be put in danger after danger after danger. Why? Because it meant that he was suffering for Jesus Christ. He was serving Jesus Christ. But you know, there are others who thought that this isn't the way it should be. The disciples, for instance, who Jesus was teaching to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, when it come time for them to have supper together, where was the person that was going to wash their feet? Who's going to do it? Who's going to get down here? You could just kind of see them sitting around thinking, you know, man, I hate to Nobody's here to watch us feed. I hate for this to happen. This is going to be hard to eat when somebody speaks in my face because they're reclining around the table. But Jesus gets up and He girds Himself and He goes and He washes their feet. Well, you remember Peter after that. No, Lord. You're not going to wash my feet. Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you're not going to have any part with me. Well, then, of course, he jumped the gun and said, wash my whole body. But they were proud. They weren't going to lower themselves to that point. But the Master did. Jesus did. The man who had all eternity. He came to earth to live a lowly life. The son of a carpenter. The son of God. We can't be too proud to serve. We can't be too proud to serve. We're going to waller around in pig slop if we have too much pride in our lives. Another reason sometimes is we're too scared to serve. You think about Paul, though. If you look back at the text, here's what it said. Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. You know what the Jews were doing? While Paul was serving them and serving others, they were plotting to kill him or to put him in prison or to do some type of harm to him. But he served anyhow. We are in a time in our world where this is not a popular saying. It's not popular for us to talk about serving others because it's about serving self. It's about us doing what feels best for us. You look around and there will be things that go on in life that will be about what I can get out of this or how I can be made famous or how I can be held in a higher regard. But that's not what the Lord's church needs to be about. There's an order to it. Jesus Christ is the head. Bar none. He is the head of the church. We have elders in this congregation that, yes, they are our shepherds. They are the ones who watch out for us. They are the ones who tend the flock. But we are all members of the Lord's church. And we are all individuals who are trying to get to heaven. And we need to be willing to serve. We can't be scared to get our hands dirty. We can't be scared to roll our sleeves up. And I'm not just talking about physical serving. I'm talking about serving of all sorts. We need to be able to maybe clean up somebody's yard, but there are phone calls to be made. There are cards to be written. There are texts to be sent. There are messages to be sent to somebody. We can't be too proud. We can't be too scared. It may take us out of our comfort zone. It certainly might. Sometimes we get in our comfort zone and we feel secure, but that's not the best place to be all the time. We need to be out serving others. By the way, the reward is way greater than the cost. The reward is way greater than the cost, the sacrifice. So we need to remember that. A second point we learn from God. Again, these are echoes, okay? These are choices we make that have eternity on our minds, that have eternal consequences or decisions that need to be made. We need to serve God's people. Secondly, we need to speak God's truth. Look at Acts 20, beginning in verse 20. Paul said, "How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. For I have not shunned to declare to you
the whole, oh, I'm sorry, that's verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Paul said, I didn't leave anything out. Now those of you who may be visiting today, those of you who may watch the live stream later or you share it with somebody, I want to say this, okay? Our church here in Azalea City is distinguished from others because our Lord and our leadership demands us teach the whole truth of God. Okay? It is different that you could go to another congregation in town. They may have a different name on the sign. They may have something different that is, when you walk in, you instantly notice a difference, okay? Why are we distinguished? Why are we set apart? Why are we out there? Because our Lord and our leadership here demands us teach the whole truth of God. It's a saying that says, speak where the Bible speaks and remain silent where the Bible is silent. See, I, Harry Cagle now, I will have to stand in judgment for my words and my teachings. I am held accountable for what I say. The truth isn't always popular, is it? It doesn't always attract the biggest numbers. You remember when Jesus was feeding bellies in John 6? When He fed the 5,000 men, He fed their bellies, they had plenty left over. Everything was great, man. Those people were hungry. We're going to follow You. He's given us this food. Things are great. I'm going to follow You. Jesus, though, being the wise teacher that He is, He said, I'm going to use this now, and I'm going to teach these people. So He started teaching them. He started teaching them about His body. He started teaching them about the sacrifice. And you know, they didn't hear, they didn't know this. They didn't know what it was. And here's what they said about it, beginning in verse 60 of John 6. Therefore, many of His disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples complained about this, He said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where He was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray Him. And He said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to Me unless it has been granted to him by My Father. Verse 66. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Sometimes, folks, and listen, let me say from the outset, that we do not live in a time where people are gladly opening their mouths and allowing us to stuff it down their throats. We don't live in that time. We don't live in a time when you can go knock on someone's door and them allow you in their living room and you pull out a film strip and you plug it in and they listen to it. We do not live in that era right now. There was a time that worked. It doesn't work today. There are different methods we have to look at. There are different ways of teaching that we have to look at. Now, that doesn't change the message ever. We change the message, then we need to shut it down. But it all has to be prefaced in love. Everything we do must be motivated in love. But when we're motivated in love, and we love people enough to tell them the truth and we speak God's truth, then we never apologize for it. When it's done the right way, it is always right. The truth of God matters. The Word of God matters. We need to know the Word of God. We need to share the Word of God. And we need to do that with as many people as we possibly can. That is a command of God. But there are going to be times when people get offended. No matter how much love we have, no matter how well we try to do it, no matter how much we've prayed about it, no matter how many meals we've bought for them, there are going to be times when people get cross with us. They get offended with us. They pack their bags and they go home. We can't let that discourage us. What would the devil want? He would have wanted Jesus to quit that day. Just give up. Enough is enough. All these people quit following you. But you know what he did? He turned to his disciples. He said, "Do you want to go also?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You hold the words to eternal life." May we never turn away from the truth of God. May we never quit teaching the truth of God. Yes, we need to serve God's people. We need to speak God's truth. But there's one more point today. We need to share God's grace. In Acts chapter 20, as we conclude our lesson, look at these words beginning in verse 22. Again, the same story here. We draw all these points from the life of Paul. Paul said, "And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." Now, don't miss what he's saying. He's saying, I don't know what's in my future per se, but here's what the Holy Spirit tells me. Now remember, Jesus told Ananias, "I'm going to show Saul," who became Paul, "the things he must suffer for my sake." Okay, he told him that. So the Holy Spirit reveals it to Paul. He reveals it to him and he says, "Hey look, everywhere you go, there are going to be chains and there are going to be afflictions waiting on you." But listen to verse 24. "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." He said, they're going to do what they're going to do to me. There are chains waiting on me. There are afflictions waiting on me. There's persecutions. There's death ultimately waiting on me. That doesn't matter to me. He said, what matters to me is that I have testified to the gospel of the grace of God. Everybody here has a different job. You have a different source of income. Okay? We have one preaching minister here, that's me. My job is different than Justin. Our jobs are different than Jason. You have a different job than all of us, okay? We have different sources of employment, right? But we all have the same work. You've got different ways, we've got different ways of making a living, but we all must share in the same work, and that is to share God's amazing grace. Bill spent 13 weeks teaching us about that grace. We do not have the ability to serve without God's grace. We are not privy to the truth of God's Word without God's grace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. That means there are no merits I can earn to receive that favor from God. We are saved by faith through grace. We're saved by grace through faith, okay? We are saved by the grace of God. Let me explain this to us. You know who God is? He is Yahweh. He is Jehovah. He is the one the true living God. He is the creator. He is the designer. He is the judge, the jury, and the sentencer. Okay? He is the one who holds our future. But because He is so holy, He is so perfect. Now, let me illustrate holiness to you. If we were to go and find a stream, I'm not talking about go and buy great value bottled water. I'm talking about we go and find a stream that there is no impurities whatsoever. It is the purest of pure water. Okay? And we find the most pure plastic bottle that's never been touched by somebody or container, and we scoop up that water and we get the lid on it. Okay? While it's in the water. In our hands then, we would hold pure water. Pure water. Can you imagine how good that's going to taste, especially on a hot summer day? And you think, I can't wait to take this pure water, no impurities whatsoever, and put it in my body. We take the lid off, and by the time we get the lid, get the bottle to our mouth, dust particles fly in it. We don't even see it. But that water's not pure anymore. We can't fathom purity. But here's what I want you to know about God. There are no impurities in God whatsoever. There's no particles. There's no dirt. There's no dust. There's no sin. There's no temptation. There is nothing impure about God. And when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and sin entered the world, that meant that man could never reside with God in that state of affairs. Because God cannot be in the presence of sin. But He wanted to have us with Him. And the only way we can be with Him today is through His amazing grace and through the blood of His Son. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Saved by grace, we need to serve in grace, we need to share the grace. Now as I close out, I want you to think about Paul. There are a lot of lessons, probably lessons today, all throughout churches, where Paul has been mentioned. The Apostle Paul, he was Saul, he became Paul, he was the second greatest soul. We can say all these things about him, but I want you to think about this. He didn't have a lot of fame and fortune. He hasn't spoken or written a word in 2,000 years. And we're still talking about him today. Why is that? Yes, we could say it's because of Jesus, it's because of God, and we'd be right. Because of the Spirit, we'd be right. But in large part, you know why it's right? Because he served God's people. He shared God's truth. And he shared God's grace. Today, do you want your life to echo? Do you want it to shine? More importantly, do you want it to live? Then we also need to partake in the things that we just talked about. Be washed in the blood. Be saved from this perverse and crooked generation. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.